thousands of Jews closer to Hashem via any media that we can use. I said it last night that to see the soldiers of today, I know the topic is time. We're going to speak about it. But to see that the soldiers of today, young boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that willing to sacrifice in a generation of TikTok, the generation of Instagram,
yeah, no.
Facebook,
yeah, no.
How do you call it, WhatsApp, to see all these people, I didn't believe that all these people that all day long in this media suddenly stop their life, going willingly to sacrifice their life for the Jewish lands. Tzadikim gemurim, people that willing to put everything aside, all the enjoyment of life, and to go to sacrifice their life. A minute that October 7 came, 120%. Usually we have 100%. When you're going in to call soldiers, in Russia, just example, many people run away from the countries, not to go to the war against Ukraine. In our land, hundreds of thousands of them flew all over Europe, all over the United States, begging to El Al, going into back to Israel in order to be part of this war. Milchemet Mitzvah, a war that considered to be, you know how strong this war? Even if you are in the weddings, according to Halacha, this mitzvah, you take Chatan Vekala, a bride and a groom, and you ask him, 1 second after the wedding, a minute after the wedding, let's go into the fight. Let's go into a war. This is a war that responds to the questions if you're going to be alive or not. This is the highest level of a war. And thousands, a hundred of thousands of them. I love what Yonatan Ben Shimon always is doing by giving tzitzit, tefillin, by giving chumashim, by giving people shorten mitzvot. Do you know how many talitot, katan, how many tzitziot the soldiers of Israel got? Maybe 500,000 of them. How many tefillin that they got? All of them requested to put tefillin, to go in with tzitzit. They just saw thousands of chassidim making talit, in a green color, in a green color with the tzal. You don't want the enemy to see. Everything has to be green. They made it like this. Sewing it, thousands of chassidim. Unreal. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. If I will speak, I will say what I said yesterday, and you have to remember it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach, one of Gedolei HaPoskim in our generation, one time a student came to him and said, Rabbi, I want to go to Tzfat. He lives in Yerushalayim. So why do you want to go to Tzfat? He said, what's mean why? I want to go to Kivot Tzadikim to pray next to Rashbi.
Guys, come in. Tell them to come in.
Ladies.
Come in. Please. There's a lot of seats here. Come inside. Yeah.
He said, why do you have to go to Tzfat? Go to Arezitim. You know what's exact? Which cemetery you can find in Arezitim? The cemetery of the soldiers. Rav Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach, one of the biggest poskim, said the cemetery of the soldiers considered to be Kivot Tzadikim, unreal. The answer is like this. Rav Avadia writes, Rav Avadia, when they ask him about the soldiers of Israel that die, Rabbi Avadia said what the Gemara said, Arugei Lod, and Shum Beria Yechola La'amot Kenegdam. They achieved the highest level in Gan Eden. The Lubavitch Rebbe conclude by saying, you never find anyone like the soldiers of Israel that willing to physically sacrifice their life. We all have to study from it. One of the things that Rav Chaim Shmuelevitz said to the student, what Moshe Rabbeinu told to Reuven and Shimon, וחצי שבט המנשה. האחיכם יצאו למלחמה, ואתם תשבו פה. Your brother is going to go to war, and you're going to sit and enjoy life. How can it happen? Each one of us have to be part of this war. Not only tonight, because tonight is, today is the day of the memorial days. Not only today's. I want each one of us to live here with this message. What exactly I'm doing to join this war? The war that our enemy tried to kill all of us. That war is an endless war. בכל דור ודור עומדים עלינו לחלותינו. You know, one of the ways to fix this war? To take Book of Tehillim on a daily basis. And to say, you know what? Instead, you know, when you're waiting in, when you're waiting in line, if we're already talking about times, I will tell you how much times we're spending. On a daily or on a monthly basis. You're not going to believe. One of the most important gifts that God gave us is time. In English, they said, time is money. And money is cash. No, this is my view. Time is money, right? Time is important. Nothing is more important. Can you tell me why time is so important? Why time is so important? Beautiful. You lose money, you can get it back. You lose time, you will never be back. You will never be able to go back to the same. Only when you go to Orlando, they have a machine that called Back to the Future. For 5 minutes, you feel like you're going, you can go back. That one in the movie, in imagination, in reality, how did they said, "Ben Adam, lama tidag al adamim, ve'no tidag al hayamim, ki hayamim olchim ve'enam chozrim." A human being, why you cry over money, and you're not crying over times? Time that you lost, it will never be back. Money will not help you anyway. Sometimes money just brings headache. And if it's gonna help, if you lost it, you can get it back. If you make it, you can lose it. But time will never be back. Listen to this. It was a rabbi, a Rosh Yeshiva, that made a special celebration in his house. He brought maybe 100 of his students. And nobody knows why. They thought maybe his child got married. Maybe his daughter getting married. Maybe, I don't know, you achieved the age of 80. You have to make a special birthday. Everybody's waiting for the surprise. And the Rosh Yeshiva stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing Siyum HaShas. I finished the whole Shas." So the student said, "Rabbi, it's nice, but you already finished it 7 times. What's the big deal? I don't understand. Why this one? Last time, 7 years ago, and 7 years before, you didn't do any celebration. You made the small cakes, L'chaim, you know, Ashkenaz tides. They're making L'chaim for bringing a little fish, herring they call it. That's it. Suddenly, Yishkoyach, Baruch Hashem, exactly, Yishkoyach. I love it. Yishkoyach. Suddenly, you're making Seudah L'Sfaradim. 18 kind of salads, 7 kind of fish, 24 kind of meat. What exactly costs so much money? And everything fancy schmancy. Listen to the answer of the rabbis. I wish we're going to get this message. The rabbi said, "I will tell you why this one is unique. Because this one I did in a time that usually everybody is losing." Meaning, do you know that every year we lose 250 hours on driving back and forth to our job? 250 hours we're losing to get to the job back and forth. Do you know that we're losing 200 hours every year minimum by waiting in the bank, by waiting for the bus, by waiting for the trains? 200 minimum. In 40 years you have 18,000 hours. Unread. He said, "Last time when I finished the Shas, I said, I'm going to accept upon myself to finish the Shas this time in the last minute. And the minute that everybody lost. I'm waiting, I open the books and I study, you know. I'm waiting in the bank, why I have to wait? I went in, one of the rides that they went in the yeshiva, it was 45 minute wait. And they asked me, 'Rabbi, do you mind to wait?' I said, 'I love waiting.' Why? A minute that is, he doesn't understand why I like to wait. Why do you wait so long? The yeshiva had a trip, the yeshiva trips. The boys ask me, Rabbi, if you're not going, we're not going also. I had no choice, I had to go with them. What did they have to do with this nonsense, with this ride? But my wife told me that you love them like your children, right? I said, 100%. Your son is going, you go with them. I said, my wife, I approve this message. I went with them. I'm standing. Everything that my wife said, I'm doing. Gentlemen, just for you to know, good life is to agree with everything your wife said. Don't argue. Just don't argue. You want me out? You want me out of the house? I'm going. Life is amazing. Pinchas, 45 minutes, I'm waiting on the ride. What did I do? I opened the phones. I finished the whole Chumash. I finished the whole Tehillim. I finished the whole Tanya. I finished the Rambam of the day, the daily Rambam. I took the daily page. You know, I said, can we extend the line? I'm in the middle of finishing. Instead of feeling why bad things happen to good people, why I stuck here, I said, can I have another 45 minutes? It's good wait. It's amazing. This rabbi made Siyum HaSechet and what? And the lost time that each one of us is losing. I took upon myself 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes. You can finish the whole Shulchan Aruch in 1 year. Unreal. Next year you come in here, you give Shiur, Alachot and Shulchan Aruch. What do you have to do in this case? How do you become so giant? Ah, this is by waiting in the bank and by waiting to the bus. These times, 400 to 500 hours a year. Do you know what it means, 500 hours? It's like almost 20 days that we're losing every year just waiting. If this is so, I will tell you, they said that life, you know why time is so important? I will tell you why time is so important. Why time is so important? That one answer is because, and you said that, you cannot reverse times. When you lose time, you cannot reverse. But there's another reason. I will tell you the other reason. Listen to this. Because of that, in order to have time, what do we ask in Borei Olam? Zachrenu l'chaim, melech hafetz v'chaim. Please, Borei Olam, give us life. What's life? What's life? Life meaning what? What mean life? Life is what? Time. Life is time. Chaim is 68. The word chacham, wise man, is 58. Because to know how to use time, you have to be smart. To know how to be careful and not losing time, you have to be smart. Listen to this. Do you know why time is important? There was one rabbi that said, beautiful. Jonathan, if I'm giving you a gift, when exactly I'm going to give you the same gift once again? Or even better gift, when? When you respect the first gift that I gave you, I will give you more gifts. But if I know I'm giving you $10,000 and I see you outside taking the money and put it in the fire, oh God forbid, you give somebody a loan and you heard that the day later he went to the casino and lost all his money. And he came 2 days later, excuse me, can you give me extra $10,000? Everything's okay with you? And you're out of your mind, I don't understand. Listen, if you want to take fire, take your money. Why are you taking my money? Every year, each one of us, ladies and gentlemen, come to the Almighty God. God, give us life. Give us life. And God said, I gave you last year. What did you do with your time? That you scroll and Facebook, Twitter, how do you call it, TikTok, Balagan, all day long? I mean, if you're going into the TikTok of Jonathan, it's good. You get messages, you get Rabbanim. You get, it's good. Not that they make TikTok kosher, but certain TikToks of the Rabbanim, it's good. You know, Baruch Hashem. Instagram of the Rabbanim, it's good. Baruch Hashem. But if you're going into visit all this Gehenam, that one, what do you do with the time? If you don't respect my gift, why do you want me to extend the gift? Why do you want to ask me more gifts? I'm sorry. I gave you a gift last year. Why you don't respect the times? One way is to win against our enemies is to join the war. And another one, and now I'm going to invite, just before I'm going to tell you, you know how we win our enemies? I will tell you how. It was this woman that went into the hospital, deliver a baby. She delivered number 12. 12 children. Baruch Hashem. And here, an American hospital. Now, American, they usually have 2 children and 3 dogs. They don't have room. You have 3 children, is that considered to be? Wow, you need minivan. You need minivan. Extension, you know what they call it? X5, station wagon. You remember the station? No, X5. You need X5 already. 3 children is. Why? Because your wife, and 3? X5, Baruch Hashem. If you have 4, it's already X7, Baruch Hashem. Now, this is what I meant. Now, the doctor is looking, American doctor, Bob. You know Mr. Bob? Bob. always, he said, that's it. She said, Jean, after they delivered the baby, he said, Baruch Hashem, thank God, that's it, enough. So she looked at him, she said, what's mean enough? He said, enough, that's it, this is good enough, that's it. You don't need more children. He said, chutzpan? What the audacity? I don't know, is your my husband? You're the doctor. Do your job and be quiet. He said, ma'am, how many children you want? I don't understand, 12 is not good enough. I'm not chutzpan. If I told you enough after two children, maybe you can understand. 12 children you have, how many children you have? And Ashkenaz have two names. He's 24 children. Some of them even have three names. I have a student of mine. He have three names, his father have three names, his child have three names. He's already nine people. So how many children you need? You know, she said, I don't understand. She said, I want to have 6 million children. She said, that your husband know about this 6 million? She said, why do you want 6 million? Why not 5.5? She said, because I want to cover for every Jew that we lost in the Holocaust. Ladies, gentlemen, you know what we're doing here on Monday night? We're making shidduchim. You know why shidduchim is good? Because when you're going to get married, and we're going to be the messengers, you know what we can do? Our enemy try to kill us. And we're bringing more babies, Jewish babies. I say, we're here, and we're not only here. We bring more children, 12, 14, I'm here. That's it, I'm Israel Chai. The reason that shidduchim is important. The way to fight with our enemies, to do what? To bring more children. To get married and to be married. This is what we're doing. We're fighting and we join Tzal. Tzal doing it in Israel by sacrificing the physical life, and we're doing it here by bringing more and more Jewish people to the world. Let's join this venture, this revolution. But there's not a shame that this year we're going to dance in all of your weddings. And we're going to hear Kol Sashon V'Kol Simcha. Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala. Let's repeat all of us. My name, each one of you said, my name. Mention your names. Asher Vaknin. My name is
Jonathan Ben Shimon.
And repeat after me. And we.
And we.
And Borei Olam. Approve this message. That's it. This is, you're getting married. That's it. Come on. That's it. Now I'm going to invite Jonathan Ben Shimon. Jonathan.
I'm always really happy to come to the Queens community here. I don't just come to this room. Also, before I start, a huge thank you to Rabbi Asher Vaknin for not only inviting me, but to being my rabbi. Rabbi Vaknin answers the phone at 2 a.m. in the middle of the afternoon, early in the morning. He's always there for you. And being that he's dealing with so many people and couples and things and really changing the world, especially here in Queens, I really appreciate the rabbi and his time. And I love him dearly. He's not just my rabbi, but I'd call him even my father. My father's not here. He's not going to get jealous. I want to also...
Your mother recording.
My mom's in the back. The representative of Am Yisrael. Round of applause. My mom puts up every single poster in Brooklyn. Like, if you ever come to Brooklyn and you see a poster for the hostages to come home, that's my mom. She's really special. She really wants them to come home. And, like, to repeat her famous line, they're all my children. Because she really believes in the Achdut. I want to also thank everyone who organized the event. Where is he? There in the back. Shalom.
Our event has been made. The Ilu Nishmat.
Yeah.
Abachor Tzair, Sheniftar, Bet Me'amav. Roni Ben Berta Polanov. Polanov. And also...
Daniel
Mordechai Ben Regina. Ve'Eliezer Ben Angela. וברוך מירוב הכהן רוח אדוני תנחם בגן עדן תהיה נשמתם צורה וצורה חיים דתורה סד שם שם לו חוק ומשפט בורא עולם תן משה רבנו I will give you חוק ומשפט I will give you תורה I will give you blessing but it's going to be שם it's going to be there why not here why not here if you want to give it here you know why because שם stand for the two people that every Monday night now they join together to become the best partner They said, Sham, Sham, Shin, Shlomo, Meh, Michael. He knew it. One day it's going to be Sham. They're going to join together and they're going to create such a beautiful Monday night. Yes. Let's clap the hand to Shlomo and Michael. The best partners.
Oh, Hashem. Another reason that I'm happy is that I don't just come here and see strangers in the room. I genuinely look around this room and I see the future of Am Yisrael. All of you are smiling, you know, your smiles are so precious and deep inside of you is so much potential. and so much talent and skill. And this is really like, it's amazing because this is the future of Am Yisrael. And I'm so happy, I'm so honored to be here. And I wanna share with you guys a very important message that I think could be really life-changing. There was a famous rabbi named the Ramchal, and he authored the book Mesilat Yesharim, which is probably the most important Musar ethics sefer of all time. And I wanna share with you an idea that could lead us to understanding, to delve a little bit deeper into what Rabbi Vaknin said, by understanding why are we here? What's our purpose in life? And what did Hashem put us on this world for? Why did we all gather to this room tonight? And I believe that this message is so powerful, and it's gonna leave a long-lasting change tonight. So in the beginning of the Mesilat Yesharim, it opens up, and they ask, Ma chovato shel adam ba'olam hazeh? What's an obligation of a person in this world? And what's his purpose? And you know what it answers? It says, Le'enot miziv ha-shechinah. Right, Rabbi? It says to derive benefit from the divine light. Meaning, the whole purpose of this world is to go to Olam Haba. So your soul, your neshama could be closer to Hashem. That's really the purpose of this world. Now, that might sound a little bit strange. So you're telling me all this is really for the next world? So what am I here for? I'm going to tell you. A couple lines later it says, HaOlam HaZeh Domeh Bifnei Pruz Dor LeOlam Haba. This world is compared to a hallway for the world to come. Meaning that each and every single moment in our lives, we have tons of opportunities. Life is presenting us opportunities, but more than life, Hashem is presenting us opportunities. Meaning, if we're not going to believe in ourselves, and we're not going to understand our potential, and we're not going to recognize that Hashem is giving us an opportunity to grow every single moment, to get closer to Him, to build our Olam Haba, then it's sad, because all that potential is going to go to waste, Chas V'Shalom. And some people may think that the purpose of life is to make money, the obsession over money, having nice things, buying nice things, filling up the void inside of yourself. The purpose of making money is really survival. And if you look at an animal, for instance, what does the animal do? It reproduces and it survives. So I don't think that Hashem infused with us so much intelligence to be merely like an animal. The real purpose of this world, as the Mesilat Yesharim authors, and as I could show you many sources from all over Torah, is for a person to learn Torah. And not only to learn Torah, but to practice the Torah that he learns. Because Hashem brought us to this world. You have to think about it for a second. Hashem, he literally built each and every single one of us. He designed us. He crafted us. He made us all different than the other person. He made our neshamot unique. And he put us in this world, in our families, in our situations, with all of our difficulties combined, because he believes that we could overcome it. If Hashem didn't believe you could overcome it, he wouldn't instill a new life every morning. And especially now in the world with so many crazy things going on, protests on college campuses, people being scared to leave their house and to wear a kippah, tzitzit, to even look a little bit Jewish. There's a lot of fear in the air and a lot of tension. And the rabbi actually told me a fabulous chidush, by the way, about this. Remember, lo bechinam nimkratem velo bekesef tigalu. He was saying that it's for free we sold ourselves and it's not money that's going to redeem us. What's the chinam? The sinat chinam, the baseless hatred. That's what we sold ourselves for. And the kesef is not going to redeem us. What's kesef? Mitzvah. And what did the rabbi say is the solution to all the problems? To use the chinam as an interchangeable word. Avat chinam. If a person loves each and every single Jew unconditionally, that's going to lead us to the redemption. But to get back to the point, with all the madness going on in today's world, what does Hashem expect from us? If you look around the world, you open the news, you watch the media, it's really negative. It's really shutting off our minds. It's really making us more of reactors as opposed to creators. And that's really taking away from the whole potential of the Jewish person. Hashem wants each and every single one of us to be happy, to know what our purpose in this world is, to live life with true meaning. And if there's one question I'd want you to leave tonight and ask yourself is, what is the meaning of why God created me? Isn't it such a beautiful thing? Think about it for a second. God, Hashem, He took His time to create you, to detail you, each and every single detail of your life, to make you unique, to make you stand out, to really show the world, this is my potential. And to use that in your marriages, in your businesses, in your relationships, in your life, and to really glow. And if you pay attention to what's happening in the world today, God is concealed. If you ask any person, a non-believer on the street, where is God in today's world? The anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. The hatred against us, the constant protests and everything, it's madness. And it's almost impossible to see God in today's world. What's the answer? What do we have to do? We have to reveal God. In a world where it's so dark, we have to bring the light. And if you think about it, without darkness, there would be no purpose of light. Interestingly enough, that's why in our own lives, in our own struggles, when we have dark times, the only answer is to reveal the light, to shine the light through the darkness, because the darkness is there to mold us, to grow, to become better, to become stronger, to get closer to Hashem. Hashem doesn't give you a test that you can't overcome, and we really have to internalize that message. But what does it mean to reveal God in the world, following what the Misdat Yesharim says? Hashem wants you to reveal His name in the world. What does that mean? Making a bracha before you eat. For the men, if you're walking in the street, to guard your eyes to the best of your abilities. Even in your own midot, as the Rav teaches, to fix one bad character, Rabbi Sami Salanter, to fix one bad character trait is harder than learning all of Shas. When you fix your bad midot, your negative character traits, you are revealing God's name. Especially in a marriage, when you control your anger, when you think about the other person first. That's true love, by the way. In Ahava is Hav. Hav means to give unconditionally. Because when you give pieces of yourself, that's how you learn to love that other person. When you fix your negative character traits, and you believe that you can overcome them, as hard as they may be, yes, learning Torah is important, and we're not taking away from that, Chas v'Shalom. But the combination of understanding that my meaning, the whole purpose of why Hashem created me, as crazy as it may sound, is to set aside a time every single day to learn. I'm not telling you not to go to work, but understand what you're working for. The Shaar Bitachon writes, what's the purpose of working? What's Hishtadlut? Hishtadlut is two things, and don't forget this, very important lesson. Working is not slaving away, working all day, not having time for your family, not having time for yourself. Hishtadlut is two things. Number one, Hashem wants you to be busy. To be busy so you're not going to sin. Very simple. I'm going to be busy with my job. I'm not going to have the time to think about negative things. I'm going to be productive. What's the second reason for Hishtadlut? Hashem is testing you to see, are you on my team or are you on the Yetzer Hara's team? For example, let's say you go into the business world. Speaking for myself, I'm a man. You have a meeting with a non-Jewish woman or even a Jewish woman and she reaches out to shake your hand. Are you going to shake her hand or not? When they have a meeting and they're serving non-kosher food, are you going to eat it to appease the bosses and to find favor in their eyes for a raise? Or are you going to say, no, these are my values. I don't shake women's hands. I don't eat this food. It's not for me. Hashem is constantly testing you throughout your day, even in the business world. Many people ask me, how do I bring Hashem to my business? Put up mezuzah. Speak to your workers respectfully. There's a story in the Gemara where I forgot the rabbi's name, but he would go every single day to the Ben Midrash and he would cross the street and go shake the goy's hand. You know, we look down on goyim. Chas v'shalom. Every human being deserves respect. It's so important to bring Hashem with you throughout your entire day. And just to elaborate more on this point, Hashem is giving us the work as an opportunity to show Him, are we on team Hashem or are we on team Kochi ve'otzem Yadi? And to actually continue this point, the Shaar HaBitachon concludes that if a person constantly overcomes the test that Hashem is putting in front of him each and every single day, not only in business, but in his relationships, in controlling himself, and thinking about the other person more than he thinks about himself, then he is not only revealing Hashem's name, but he is overcoming the whole purpose of the test. And if you overcome the test constantly and Hashem gives you more and you show Him that I'm on your team, He gives you a little bit more, you show Him I'm with you. He gives you a little bit more, you show Him I'm with you. There's no purpose for Hashem to test you anymore. If you reach a level, to quote the Shaar HaBitachon, of spiritual lofty greatness, you won't even have to work anymore. So isn't that crazy? I didn't sell you a college degree. Whoa, Gary? Wow. Oh my God. Special tzaddik. I can't believe he's here. If you reach a level of spiritual lofty greatness, you're showing Hashem, there's no reason to test me anymore. No more working, no more slaving away, no more college degrees, none of that. Hashem just wants you to trust Him and to be on His team. And I can tell you that I see it in my own life. I see that the more I trust, the more I receive. What's worry in Hebrew? Da'aga. Dalet Aleph Gimel Hey. The first five letters of the Hebrew alphabet without the bet. Why? Because the bet is the bitachon. If you have the bitachon in Hashem and you eliminate all worry, you eliminate all fear, and you tap into yourself, into your inner greatness, who you're meant to become, and not to be hard on yourself for the things that you did. It's okay. Everyone has a past. I have a past. I'm sure everyone here has a past. I'm sure everyone here made mistakes. We have to not focus on what we did and the things that we made and the decisions we made in the past. We have to look into ourselves and recognize that these are lessons that we need to learn from, and we need to carve our life and to carve a new journey from now forward. Because Hashem loves you, and He really believes in you. I can't stress it enough. You know, just to me myself personally, I started a whole platform on loving Hashem and spreading Torah and spreading kindness. And you think I didn't have it hard in my life? Everyone has it hard. But I was choosing not to react to the hard things that were happening in my life. I was choosing not to say, oh, well, this happened, they said this, she said that. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The only opinion a person should really care about is Hashem's opinion. If a person really values God's opinion, what does Hashem think of me? A person may think Hashem doesn't love me, so why are you still breathing? The fact that you're breathing is a testimony that God loves you. And a person should use his existence in this world to justify God's reasoning for creating him. It's a shame to take so much intelligence, so much talent, so much capability and to throw it in the garbage. It's really a shame. A person needs to look into himself and to say, how can I justify my existence every single day? How can I approach that person who it's hard for me with and to love them unconditionally? How can I carve out time in my day to learn more Torah? How can I polish myself to practice the Torah that I'm learning and not to just learn it, right? Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, before you go and become a big tzaddik, learn Torah and become a better, before you learn and become a big tzaddik, have good midot, treat the other person the way you want to be treated. A goy once went to Hillel and asked him to teach him the whole Torah on one leg. He said, "V'hafta l'racha kamocha, v'hafta l'racha kamocha," to treat someone else the way you want to be treated. This is really the ABCs of Judaism. And I want all of us to really understand the point and to leave here with a thought a little bit closer to what's my meaning in life and to think about that message and to really understand that the whole purpose of our existence, the whole purpose of our creation is to shine light into the world, to use Hashem's Torah, Hashem's light, to make the world brighter. And before we go, like myself, like a crazy person, crazy interviews, yelling in pizza stores, all of the fun schematics online that I like to use in order to push Hashem's name to the world, the Chafetz Chaim says a person needs to change his own world. Because the Chafetz Chaim, he wanted to change the world. He set out to change the world and he failed. He tried to change his country, his city, his town, his own neighbor. He couldn't make a Baal Tshuva. What did the Chafetz Chaim do? He changed himself. When you fix the inner conflict, when you fix your own problem, solutions, not problems, when you find a solution to your solutions, that's when it leaks out and makes the world a brighter place. The people around you are going to recognize it. There's no such thing in changing people. It's honestly a waste of time. Excuse me if I may. There's no such thing as telling someone what to do, trying to change the other person, your family member, your friend. Make yourself a better person. And stop valuing people's opinions so much. Start to listen to, what does Hashem want from me? What's my opinion of who I can become? You know, every single day when I pray in the Amidah, before I finish the Amidah, I ask Hashem, can you please help me reach my potential today? And whatever it is, I was learning today, Rav Victor Miller writes that every single day a person should do one act of chesed without anybody knowing. And he gave an example that someone should do his wife's dishes. Not his wife's dishes, not all of them. You should do one dish. Because if you do all the dishes, you know, in the back of your head, you know that your wife's going to compliment you that you did all the dishes. So go to your, you know, if you're married, go to your wife, go to the kitchen over there and clean one dish and put it aside. Do one chesed, really l'shem shamayim. And I'm sure we can all look into our own lives and think, where can we do our own chesed without anybody looking, without the compliments, without all the glory, without all the fame. Hashem really wants us to connect to our inner greatness and to connect to who we are. Not to what people are telling us, not to what the media is spilling at us, not to what the news is throwing at us every single day, and even the people in our own lives. We have to judge people favorably and to recognize that Hashem, when He sends us difficult people in our lives, the people that we like to choose to avoid and to run away from, Hashem is sending us an opportunity. Because if you judge this person favorably and choose to love them and to have compassion towards them, midah keneged midah, Hashem's going to do that same thing to you in Shamayim. Because it's not. We have to look. Try to look at our life with almost a lens of Hashem looking at it. Hashem doesn't do things by accident. If you have a difficult person in your life, love that person, judge them with compassion, with favor, with kindness, and to Bezrat Hashem to continue to grow and to come closer to Hashem. And even our own parents, you know, our relationship with Hashem is compared to our relationship with our parents. It's so important that we love our parents, and we choose not to. And I'm saying it in front of my mom. It's funny. I actually want to share with you guys a very interesting Gemara that I learned today, showing us the importance of respecting and loving our parents. So there's a Gemara over here, Masachet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, and it's saying that there's a story of an idol worshiper, someone that he went to go Ovdei Kochavim. Back in the day, they used to believe in the sun, believe in the stars. And his name was Dama ben Netina. And the rabbi, they knew that he had a certain stone for the chest plate, for the Mishkan, and they wanted to buy it from him. And there's an argument in the Gemara, how much is the stone worth? One rabbi says 600,000 ribah. The other rabbi says 800,000. A lot of money. And what did this guy do? Dama ben Netinah. To anyone that learns, it's a very famous name in the Gemara. He said, I don't want to retrieve for you the stone because my father's sleeping. And the key to where the stone is under his head. Literal the words of the Gemara. So what happened? He didn't end up giving them the stone because the key was under his father's head. He didn't want to wake up his father. And this is a goy, someone who's not Jewish at all. It says that a year later, Hashem gave him his reward. What was his reward? Hashem gave him a para aduma that was born into his pen, into his, basically where all the animals were. To anyone that doesn't know, a para aduma is an all red animal. And that's what they would use to purify people at the times that we had the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem repaid him with the para aduma, and the rabbis asked him, how much do you want for your para aduma? He said, I don't want too much for it, because he knew that this, you could sell this, imagine nowadays you had a para aduma, it would sell for literally millions of dollars. And he said, I don't want too much money for it. Give me the exact value of what you wanted the stone for, whether it was 600 or 800,000 ribah. And that just goes to show the importance of a goy respecting his parents. We learn from a non-Jew what is the importance of respecting our parents. And to really internalize this message, our relationship with our parents is literally our relationship with Hashem. Our relationship with people around us is our relationship with Hashem. Everything in our life should be looked at as sort of reflective, a mirror. The way I am with people is most likely the way I am with Hashem. If a person has resentment towards people, etc., chances are he has resentment towards God. If a person has negative feelings, etc., go fix your relationship with Hashem. And I'll say for the men, we have here tzitzit. Tzitzit is an incredible mitzvah. You're wearing Hashem with you every moment of the day. From sunrise to sunset, you're getting a mitzvah every second. At night, you're being protected from sin. It's the best deal in the world. Can you imagine you're getting a mitzvah, a good deed, every moment without doing anything? You're wearing a four-cornered garment that Hashem commanded you to wear, and you're getting rewarded for that, and you're getting protected. It's an amazing deal. And for the women, we brought the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. And to go into the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, if a person says Birkat HaMazon with Kavanah, it's guaranteed that he or she will not lack any sustenance. Because I don't want you guys to just come here and to hear a nice Divrei Torah. I want you guys to leave with mitzvah. And Be'ezrat Hashem, with these words of Torah, I really, really genuinely hope that each and every single one of you grow and hit your potential. And not only to hit your potential, not in an egotistical way, but to look into yourself and to say, it's not about me, it's about Hashem. What does Hashem want my potential to be? How does Hashem want me to be as a future husband or as a future wife? How am I going to be? Being married doesn't start when you're married. It starts now. And I can tell that to you because I'm single. Every day I'm preparing for when I'm going to be married. Constantly working on myself. Learning more Torah, fitting it into my day. You can even ask my mom. My chavruta comes to the house every day. We set up the table. We learn. Constantly working on myself to become a better version of myself. Because you don't find your soulmate, you have to become your soulmate. And exactly who you are is what you're going to get. And that's to all the singles in the room. B'ezrat Hashem, you should get married this year. Amen. And to anybody, even if you're married, the only way to truly succeed in your life is to make Hashem your partner. Your partner in your marriage, your partner in your business, your partner in every single moment of your life. There's no better listener than Hashem. Hashem is the best therapist. Hashem is the best friend. You can laugh with Hashem. You can cry with Hashem. You can do everything with God. You just have to believe that He's listening to you. And you just have to sometimes judge God a little bit favorably. And to understand that Hashem loves you. He wants the best for you. And that's why He's constantly investing in you. Every single day we say Modeh Ani. At the end of the Modeh Ani, we say Rabbah Emunatecha. Allah is your faith, Hashem, that you woke me up today. You believe in me. It's a crazy idea if you really internalize it. Like I think I read once in the Shah Bitachon that if a person understands his purpose of his life and what this world's all about, he'd be running around the streets dancing with joy, kind of like Rabbi Vaknin. All day, happy, screaming, Hashem Melech, you know? Like we really have to let go of all of the constrictions of this world. We have to let go of everything that's holding us down. Fear about where is my shidduch going to come from? Where is my money going to come from? The Ramban with a Nun, Nachmanides, uses a harsh language when it comes to money. He says a person that worries about where his money is going to come from is a fool. It's a very harsh language. And you have to understand what he's saying. Everything that a person has is from Hashem. And when it comes to money, Hashem uses you as a vessel to just emulate Him. When a poor person reaches out his hand and asks you for tzedakah, Hashem's giving you an opportunity. Think about it for a second. I learned this a few months ago. Crazy idea. If you take money and you fold it up, it's a yud. Your hand, five fingers, K. The poor person reaching out their hand, vav, and then K. Yud, K, vav, K. When you're giving tzedakah, you're revealing God's glory in the world. Crazy idea if you think about it. And not only that, Hashem's giving you an opportunity to give. The same thing with marriage. It says that the Isha is Ezra Kenegdo. She's on your team, but at the same time, she's opposing you. A person that gets married, a marriage is a constant, you could say, a factory of midot. Every single moment of the day. And the rabbi has tons of funny stories about his marriage and nine of, you know, it's really a ride, but it doesn't have to be all upset and fighting. It could really be fun. You're supposed to grow in your marriage. I heard something crazy the other day where someone said, you know, do you love your wife the same as when you married her? And you say, are you out of your mind? 20 years later, I love her. My love for her is growing each and every single day because love is about giving. I don't believe, you know, and the rabbi could agree in the fairy tale of, oh, you fall in love and lust and etc. Love is a constant effort and it's a constant avoda. It's a constant sacrifice. And I can imagine we need to constantly work on ourselves so we're ready to do that. Because at the end of the day, we're all vessels. And if you want Hashem to shower you with bracha, remove the lid. The lid is the victim mindset, that I don't believe in myself, that Hashem doesn't love me, etc. That's the lid. If we can remove the lid from our keli, Hashem can start shower us with shefa. The shefa can be the happiness, the briyut, the hatzlacha, the bracha, the shiduch, the business, everything. But remove the lid. Mamish, like starting now, every person, look into yourself and say, what can I let go of? How can I forgive someone that hurt me? How can I let go of that narrative, that divorce the story? Like, it's really enough. It's not this person's fault that you're not where you want to be. It's not that person. It's not this family member. It's not this boss. It's not this teacher, this old rabbi. Everyone's representing whatever they believe in their own way. And if you trust in people, atif techu bin divin, you're not going to get too far. Let go of everything, surrender, and trust Hashem. Because Hashem will never let you down. And that's really my message in a nutshell, Rabbi.
If I can summarize what our very own Yonatan said in a beautiful ways. All the obstacles in a person's life is to remind you, go back to me. Go back to me. Go back to yourself, the neshama that I give you. When you want to get married, don't say, I want to get married. I want to get married in order to build a Jewish home. Or olam, aselem anach. I'm doing it for your sake. I want to have a home for the sake of God. I want to drive a car for the sake of God. They call it in English business expense. A minute that you're saying something for the sake of God is a minute. Dr. Albert is here. You definitely deserve it. The revolution 7 years ago. Even more, 9 years ago, that Dr. Albert joined in to Monday night and made Monday night great again. The last night, 9 years, he became the strongest night in the whole five barrel. Clap to Dr. Albert. And now, Shlomo, Michael, and all of you, Baruch Hashem. Ladies, we're going to give you a gift. Us and Yonatan, you know what the connection between me and Yonatan, you know what? Oh, you know, and Hasidim, they don't have a lyric in their sing. You want to be happy, but Hasidim is very easy. How do you sing a Hasidic song? I. You don't have to remember like Sfaradim and Ashkenaz, you have many words, they have to remember. Hey, you don't have to, what do you have to remember? Ay. Because when, you know when exactly Israelis do an I? When somebody step on you, what do you do? I. I is not something good. You know when I heard this chidush, what I'm telling you now? I went into Simchat Torah to Crown Heights. I was dancing. I had nails in the ingrown nail. And my leg was like a balloon. And I'm dancing with 10,000 Hasidim and 770. And one of them happened to be the biggest one in the room, was in front of me. And he was jumping. He came down exactly. Why? Ay! I didn't hear my. And the guy said, Rabbi Wagner, I'm going to give you chidush. Which chidush? I feel the pain. Which chidush? He said, Rabbi, you know what is ay, ay, ay? Ay, ay, ay is when you can take the most difficult moment in life and you can dance with this. This is the greatest of Hasidim. How do you write ay? Aleph Yud. Aleph Asher Yud Yonatan. Ay, ay, ay. Now I'm going to give you a bonus. And the bonus is, you can have any question you want. And Shidduchim, in life, in business. Please feel free to ask any question you want. We're going to extend the shiur. Have a guest speaker, Baruch Hashem, a brilliant one. Well, the Jewish nation is lucky to have Jonathan. This year we're going to dance in his wedding. Let us say amen. Everybody wedding, let us say amen. And like I said many times, please do not forget to invite me to your weddings, because we're Israelis, we come anyways. No, you don't want to feel uncomfortable. Rabbi, I forgot. How many people told me, Rabbi, I forgot? And they feel like this. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Just send an invitation. And usually we come with the whole family. Israel is not like American. You have a chair reserve. Which reserve? The whole neighborhood is coming. Hashem, Elech. Oh, Hashem. Please tell me how many people you want me to come. Now, questions. Any question you have, please. Feel free to ask questions in Shidduchim. Yes.
So, I really enjoyed everything you said. It was very meaningful and a lot. If someone has like trouble every day trying to like keep that pitachon Hashem and like have that ishtadlut and have that faith and like grind every day, and like sometimes you're just like feeling down, how do you like turn that around to make every single day like feel the best?
So beautiful question. Round of applause. What's your name?
Daniel.
So I'll give you two answers. First answer is that obviously, if I teach you a halakha, let's say you can't open a light on Shabbat, you're always going to remember that. It's never going to leave your mind. When it comes to emunah and bitachon, it's a muscle that has to be worked on. The more that a person learns instructions as emunah and bitachon every single day, he's adding fuel to the fire. Right now, if I give you a crazy bomb shiur, your bitachon and emunah is at 100%. If you let a couple days go by, it drops down to 70. God forbid, you let a month go by, it drops down to 30. You give someone a few months, years away from what they learned, that inspiration, it's going to dissipate completely. So the first advice is to constantly learn and to work on yourself. To learn who Hashem is. And to learn about Hanhagat Olam, how Hashem runs the world. And when you learn about how strong Hashem is and how present He is, like I promise you, like anyone in this room, if you ever have a worry or a problem that comes up in your life, really a solution, open up Shaar Bitachon and learn it for 10 minutes. I promise you, if you read a little bit, just a little bit, a little spark, just to light yourself up. Who is Hashem? How powerful is He? And it goes through, it's such a beautiful sefer. And if you want, you can come to me after. I'll show it to you, how to order it. I'll even order it for you on Amazon. You know, it's mamish, a beautiful sefer. And 10 minutes of that can cure any problem. Like it says, Barati Yetzahara, Barati Tawat Tavlin. Hashem created the evil inside of us, the self-doubts, the illusions we can have in our head. You know, the illusions that are, by the way, not real, and it's not true at all. And what's the cure to all this evil, and to all this bad, and to all this self-doubt? Torah. If a person has a headache, you take an Advil. You have an issue with yourself, learn Torah. And you're going to, B'dat Hashem, be cured from it. The second answer that I'll give you is a very interesting one. If a person has a child, let's say a guy, two parents, they have a daughter, right? And this daughter, she goes out late. She's out, it's 12 o'clock at night. She's gonna get phone calls and ringing, and that's, she's in the field. Like, my parents, like, even though it's kind of annoying, I want to be out with my friends. My parents care about me, and every time she goes out late, she's gonna get the phone calls. She's gonna get the cops called, shomrim, chavit, everything. Like, where is my daughter? Why is she not home? If suddenly the girl starts to go out late and she starts to see I'm not getting the same phone calls anymore, she's in the field. Where's my parents? They don't care about me anymore. Now she's going to start going out late. She's out till 3, 4 in the morning. In the back of her head, she's kind of waiting. Like, why are my parents not going to call me? It's the same thing in life. When you feel difficulty in your life, when you feel struggle, you should be very happy. It means Hashem loves you. He cares about you. That's why He's giving you so much pressure and so much difficulty, because He's trying to mold you to become a diamond. How is the diamond created? Through pressure. That's really how it works. If you're able to recognize that every difficulty in my life is helping me to become who I'm meant to become, and you won the ball game. And people that feel like their life is rolling, you know, everything's working, business deals, the perfect, you know, shidduch, perfect house, everything, the person should be very scared. Why is Hashem not shaking me up? So the good news is that Hashem loves you. The other piece of good news is that continue to work on yourself. You're going to get Olam Haba in this world and the next. And how do you get the Olam Haba? Learning Hashem's beautiful Torah. What's better than that? By the way, Torah stems from the word Hora'ah, instructions. So you're really instructing, learning the instructions of the creator of the world, how to live the best life possible. And who knows better instructions than Hashem? Not Andrew Tate, not Elon Musk, or not, I don't know, Bibi Netanyahu. Like, no one knows better than God. Sorry, I know you love Israel. No one knows better than Hashem how he created the world. Happiness, it's there. Overcoming a difficulty, it's there. Money, it's everything you want to know in life is in the Torah. And not only is it going to give you so much knowledge and information, but you're going to feel so happy. And your neshama is going to be glowing.
I will tell you this one, if I can add. Yeah, beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. Two things. First of all, Jonathan mentioned beautiful. I can add another part. I don't know if it's good to add it in this room. The two most difficult items that always, always, always you have to work every day. A minute that you don't work it, it's like a gym, you know? When you're going into the gym and you want to become Popeye.
Gym.
You know, Popeye, you know, I said, if you're going to a gym to be healthy, it's okay, but some people, they're going in like in stores, steroids, how do you call it?
Schwarzenegger?
Steroids. Like, they look like, they shake your hand like this. Like, you know, the body can move. What's the name?
All right, do it again.
Good morning. I did this thing.
It was like Star Wars.
I was doing it like this. No, Bemet. Is that me? Now,
are we still the rabbi? If he wasn't the rabbi, he should be a stand-up comedian.
What is the challenge? What is the challenge of going to the gym? A minute that you start with gym, with food, with kosher, with food, with health, or with not smoking, something that you have to overcome every day. A minute that you're trying to avoid any difficult. So if this is so, how do you, two things that are the most challenging items in our life. The first one is emunah, faith and trust in the Almighty God. On a daily basis, you have to study for it. Yeah. Now, I will give you advice. But second one is shalom bayit. People thinking, again, movies and imagination. A minute I'm going to get married, my life is going to be smooth until 120. Amazing. But in reality, every day you have to work very hard on your shalom bayit. We're not going to touch shalom bayit now. There's no point for it. But we're going to go back to faith. So how do you trust? Two things. The first thing is, remain yourself. It's on a daily basis.
Rabbi, you know what faith stands for? Forward all issues to Hashem.
Beautiful. I love it.
Write it down.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Good, so how do you do? First of all, you remind yourself.
Rabbi, you want to hear what Bitachon stands for? Oh, sorry, I have to. Bypass Instagram and TikTok and choose Hashem over nonsense. I made that one up myself. Like, you know?
Can you repeat it? Can you repeat it? I love it.
Well, which one?
Bitachon and faith.
Faith. Forward all issues to Hashem.
Forward all issues to Hashem, okay?
Forward all issues to Hashem.
And Bitachon?
$100, no, okay.
Bitachon?
Bitachon, bypass Instagram and TikTok and choose Hashem over nonsense.
That one I love.
Rabbi, it took me 3 Shabbatot to think about it. I was like, what does Bitachon stand for? No, literally. Pray for clarity every day.
I love it. If this is so, listen to this. The first thing is, remind yourself the good things that happen in your life. It's very important for a person to remember how lucky we are. You know, after October 7, I believe that all of us wake up and realize how each one of us is lucky, A, to be alive, B, to have a family. Do you know that right now, in this moment, when we are laughing and enjoying life, some of us even on a vacation, they have 150,000 Israelis that have no home for the last of 7 months. Over 7 months, they have 150,000 Israelis. 150,000. Thousands of our brothers and sisters that have no place that call home. 75,000 from the north and 75,000 from the south.
Yeah.
So what exactly we have to complain? I need to be mitchazek in my faith. Over what? Your life is just too perfect to have. Write down all the gift that God already gave you. And wake up in the morning and read it. Say, you know what? 5 items, 2 items, no matter. Remind yourself the unlimited gift. If each one of us is going to stand up and remind all the gift that your parents give you, life and diapers and schools and tuitions, and university, and the clothing, and the place to sleep, and the place to eat, and the food himself. And we complain. What a chutzpah you have to have to him. So first of all, remind yourself the good things. This is one advice. And second advice, Jonathan said, but we took it into a little different directions. He said, beautiful. When you have obstacles, it's a good sign. You know why it's a good sign? A king, one time he was a king that had two children. Now, he wanted the children to go to university. He sent both of them outside. This guy went into this country, to America, the other one went in to London. And he sent them to the best university. One of them, he said, how much you need to sustain yourself for the whole year? 200,000? I'm paying the tuition. How much money you need? $20,000 a month? One of them, he gave them $240,000 ahead. And the other one is giving him only $20,000. Which son you like more? The one that you give him $20,000 and every month you have to give him? Or the one that you give him $240,000 ahead? Which one you love more? Why? Logic wise? What you give him? $20,000 you need too big? Why? Logic wise, what's the? You want to have connection with him. When God caused the snakes, what God did to the snakes?
He made them the food of them.
He gave them food. What's the food of the snakes?
Dirt.
Dirt, meaning any place you want. And we have to sweat for money, have to sweat for pan. Why do we have to sweat? God, the enemies, the worst enemy, the snakes, they have all this. Our enemies, Hezbollah, Iran, they have unlimited neft, unlimited oil, unlimited money. And we have to come creative. We have to be the best brand in the world to make money. Why? We are not the enemy, we're children. But Allah said, is the reason. You know why? Because the snakes, I don't want ever for him to pray for me. I don't want to hear his voice. I don't want nothing good with him. Give him enough money for the next 36,000 years, get out of here. But the Jew, I want to hear you. Now, if you're not going to have a problem, I'm sorry to say it, you're not going to come to the synagogue. Usually when David HaMelech said, "Betzar lecha u'matzucha," I mean that you have a problem. You can, Rabbi, any donation. Rabbi, you're coming into a synagogue, Tehillim, all day long Tehillim. You're making Shema Yisrael 20 minutes. What exactly? Usually when a person makes Shema Yisrael 20 minutes, it's not only because he's a tzaddik. Because you told me you have a problem. Right now he's passing certain crises in life. So you need God so badly, you can see it. You can see the way that he connects to Hashem. Baruch Olam said, this is what exactly I want. I want to hear your voice, you're my son. Don't go too far. If you're going to go too far, I'm going to wake you. I'm not doing it to punish you. I'm just doing it because I miss you. I miss you. You said beautiful, you know, and you said to me, I miss you. When your parents do not call you in 2 o'clock in the morning, why? Deep down, you're in the party, you're in the club, smiling. But you said, why my parents do not care? You know, in a relationship between a husband and wife, which stage is the worst? My job, many, many jobs that God gave me, being a messenger of Borei Olam. One of the greatest ones is to be handed in Shalom Bayit for the last 29 years, close to 1,000 couples. I will tell you which stage is the worst one. You're not going to believe. Not physical abuse, not verbally abuse. How do you call it in English? Apathy?
Empathy?
Not empathy.
Apathy.
Apathy, meaning when in America it's very common. I used to find times, very difficult for me to find time to sit with my wife. She's making a joke that she needs an appointment with me. She's right. Because it's very difficult. I'm all day long for the Jewish nation. We sacrifice our life. So when I was a rabbi in a certain community, we used to go from time to time to a breakfast or lunch together, me and my wife. And we enjoyed the time. We spoke together. And it was a beautiful moment. It was always a couple next to us. Every week, I don't know, mazal. Two American guys, Jews, sitting down. This guy holding the paper, the other one, for, I didn't believe, almost 3 or 4 weeks, they don't exchange one word. And I'm looking, I says, no, maybe they're friends or something. I came to the owner of the restaurant, I said, I'm sorry that I'm asking. He said, Rabbi, I know you always have to know everything. I said, are they married? I said, yes, they are married for 20 years. I said, well, they're already 4 hours, four times, each time is hour or two. They didn't exchange one word. I said, Rabbi, this is our behavior. Because the worst stage in marriage is when you start to live like a roommate. When you don't care to each other.
When you scream, you care. You're still in business. Because they bother you. I want to be married with you. Yes, you get me upset. I'm screaming because I want to connect. When Borei Olam doesn't care about somebody, you have to do big teshuvah because something is wrong. When you have obstacles, meaning God said, I care for you. I want you to talk to me. Remember the good things that God gave you. And second is, remember, when you have obstacles, Borei Olam is missing your voice, my baby voice. Where is my son? Where is my daughters? Can I hear your voice once again? Scream loud. Come to the synagogue. Come to Bet HaMidrash.
Karav Hashem l'chol karav.
Ay, ay, ay. L'chol asher yikru b'emet. Any other questions, please? Today we are in... Yes.
How do I have the koach to pray every day?
Oh, how do we have the koach? How do we have the koach to pray every day? Good questions. Clap the hand for the questions. I will answer you a very unusual answer. Usually, Rabbi will give you secrets. I will tell you. The secret of excitement in something is when you want to be successful in something, when you want to love something, even though that not always you have the same passion, not always. So what's the secret of religion? One time the Gemara said, which pasuk is the most important pasuk in the Torah? If I'm going to ask you, which pasuk is the most important? Which verse in the Torah is the most important? We have to love your fellow Jew. We are in the Rabbi Akiva times, Sfirat HaOmer, yeah. Beard, haircut, no weddings. Important. After, what else? Anyone else? Which pasuk? Which pasuk is the most important? One rabbi said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Bereshit Bara Elokim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You know what's the conclusion? You're not going to believe. You know which pasuk is the most important? This is the conclusion. Et hakeves ha'echa ta'aseh b'boker, ve'et hakeves ha'sheni ta'aseh ben arbaim. To bring a daily sacrifice. What the daily sacrifice have to do with this important? Bereshit, I understand. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, obvious. Shmais, what that this pasuk is important? Ladies and gentlemen, in marriage, when you're going to get married, I will answer you much deeper. Marriage is not about a vacation, Bora Bora, Cancun, and Isla Mujeres, Mexico. This is not marriage. This is what we're thinking. It's going to be a vacation, and it's going to be like... No, you know what marriage? Marriage is to wake up every morning and to cook breakfast to your husband. Sunny size up, sunny size down. Okay, omelet, Shakespeare with love. You're making enemies. And every day... Now, sometime it got you so upset, you put these pictures in their wall, and you make it to be or not to be. You want to and still et hakeves ha'echa ta'aseh b'boker, meaning consistent is the key to succeed. The key to succeed in life, in business, in relationship, in chinuch yeladim. What's the key? Why my children know? Because in every place that we went in the world, I'm a freak of minyan. I love minyanim. To pray in minyan. You know what I did? And they saw it. I pay $50 sometime, each direction, no matter where I'm in the world. In Barcelona, in Madrid, in France, no matter where. I'm always going to pray in minyan. So they see me wake up in the morning, pay taxi. Wow. Now I'm in a good mood. I want to pay the taxi. I don't know. But one thing says, I have to pray. This is consistent. If I pray in minyan, I will pray in minyan. Not always we wake up in a good mood. Not always in a relationship. You're going to tell your husband, I love you. Sometimes you cannot stand the guy. And this is the guy that, you know, you promise I'm good enough. No. Sometimes he also get upset. And still, your husband will never say, you know what, this month I'm not in a good mood. I have obligation in the ketubah. You know what, I'm not paying the mortgage enough. I'm not in a good mood. Or, I'm not paying the food, no mortgage, no clothing, nothing. But why? But why do you have to pray? You're not in the mood. Why praying? It's not a question of mood. It means consistency. You know how you overcome downside and upside? When you continue to do it. You wake up in the morning and you say, Borei Olam, I'm not in the mood to pray. I'm not in the mood to put the tefillin, and I'm not in the mood to go to the synagogue. But you know why I'm doing it? Because I want to be connected with you. And even when I'm not in the mood,
And even though that sometimes, God, you get me little challenges. I went to so many shidduchim, and all of them said no. And I mean, deep down, I'm even upset with you a little. I have some questions. But my faith on you is unconditional. Unconditional meaning, even against Yomud. Et ha-keves ha-echad, ta'ase ba-boker. Ve'et ha-keves ha-sheni, ta'ase ben-arba. Any other question to Jonathan, please? Another, yes. Jonathan.
Okay, how do you know if you
overcome
a test? Like whatever obstacle you have, like how do you know if you overcome
it? How do you know that you overcome
the
test? Yeah.
Okay. Every moment is constantly, a person is being faced with different challenges and different tests to overcome. And I think it's more so just trying to navigate every situation with grace and seeing that I treat this person right today. You know, like for example, the Rambam, he asked, it's kind of a strange example, but I'll say it because it's the truth. The Rambam asked, how does a person know if he made Teshuvah? And this Teshuvah was accepted. So he gives an example of a person, of a guy that had a girlfriend, and before he was religious. The guy has a girlfriend, and they're in Yichud together, and obviously not keeping Shomer Negiyah. And what happens? The guy decides to go to Yeshiva. He goes to yeshiva, he becomes religious, he strengthens, and he comes back to his town, and the girlfriend, she calls him, she asks, hey, you want to hang out? And he knows in the back of his head, if I'm going to agree, if I'm going to go, things are going to happen. So what does he do? Hashem put him in the same exact situation, and he said, I'm not coming. So when Hashem puts you in the same exact situation in your life, and you overcome it, then that's how you know that you grew.
They call it Tshuvat HaMishkan. You know what it's Tshuvat HaMishkan? Tshuvat HaMishkan in Halacha, the skin. You know skin? They have tshuva that calls skin. But I have to make statements just before. Skin meaning when you are in the same position. Meaning when a person used to be a thief. And then in the age of 88, he decides, I'm not stealing anymore. It's not, the guy cannot move. He's like this with the shaking. I'm not going to steal bank. You barely can walk. This is not considered to be teshuva. It's a nice teshuva, but it's not really sincere teshuva. Teshuva is when you're still young, and you still can steal, and you're going next to the bank, or a person that used to eat McDonald's, how do you call it, cheeseburger and balagan, and he's moving next to, I'm not making teshuva. I never tasted it. I never had the test to eat unkosher food, but this guy, every time, he still have the taste, and he's going next to McDonald's. To be or not to be? Not to be. I choose you. Hashem, I choose you. God, I choose you. This is Tshuvat HaMishkan. But don't put yourself in this position. Don't put yourself in this position. Don't ask to be tested. Don't be tested. And don't put yourself because don't think that you're over a tzaddik. This is chutzpah. When God gave it to you,
to be or not
handle
to be.
It. Yes, next question.
Yeah, also track your progress. It's a very important thing. It's not always about reaching the final destination.
Michael, what is the question? I want to hear a question from you, Michael.
It's not always about reaching the final destination or the end goal or reaching the end of your life. Sometimes it's very important to
look. What is the question?
To take the small wins. Am I to be or not to be?
They're not coming. They're the one behind that moving everything. You're always going to be in the front. You're doing everything behind, but Borei Olam will always going to put you in the front.
Amen.
The Almighty God will bless our very own Pinchas Niazov that this year, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to dance in the children's weddings. We're going to hear Kol Sason, Kol Simcha, Kol Chatan, Kol Kala. The Almighty God will give him a long life, an healthy life. Ve'arikoti lachem berachat bilidai. Ve'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem atzeh be'edo. We're going to be on the way to Eretz Yisrael, Be'ezrat Hashem, very soon with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Any questions? We're in a good mood today, yalla. We still have until 12 o'clock, Rabotai. Time is for that, yes.
We love this question, no?
Okay. A good question. That's a good question.
Who goes first? I'm gonna give a famous answer. I'm gonna quote the rabbi's favorite rabbi, the Rebbe. No, she asked, "How do you know if the person is the right one? If you're dating them, etc." Everyone got the question.
It's a good person. Everything is good, but at the same time, something is missing. Something is off. So how do you know if to continue or not to continue? How do you know if this is the right? Happened to all of us, I guess, when we date out, and there was many good people in the world, on the ways, And you're asking yourself to continue, not to, but still you don't feel it. The kishkes, you know, the kishkes, the inside, do nothing. Something is missing.
A person once went to the Rebbe and they were in a relationship. You love the Rebbe, I know. And they asked, I'm dating a girl, how do I know if it's the right girl for me and to know if I should continue? So he gave two answers. Number one, the chemistry. Do the minutes feel heavy? Is time flying? Like, do you check your phone and it went from 7 to 2 in the morning? Is the date going by and you really enjoy every moment with that person? Or is it more so, I want to go to the bathroom, I want to check my phone, I want to call my friend, I want to leave, I want to get out of it. So it's really important to value the time with that person, to have flowing conversations, to have chemistry, and to feel like I really enjoy my time with this person. I'm extremely curious about them and I want to know everything about them. And obviously, we're not talking about breaking Shomer Negiyah, Chas V'Shalom, all these other things. Like, truly spiritual neshama connection. That's the first thing. And the second thing is to have a conversation about the future. Because if I want to grow this way and she wants to grow this way, we're going to grow, but in different directions. So where do I want to be at the end of my life? Where do you want, meaning, where do I want to be in 50, 60 years from now? What kind of family do we want to have? What kind of yeshiva do we want to send our kids to? What's our expectations on dating? How long? Where do we want to get? All these little questions, they're important. Because you don't want to suddenly get married out of lust and infatuation and you come into a marriage and you guys are going to different directions. You want to send your kids to yeshiva and let's say he, God forbid, wants to send his kids to a mixed school. You want to keep Shabbat, he doesn't. Then you have kids that come up and say, Mommy, how come Abba's saying this and you're saying that? So it's very important to have these important conversations when you're dating as well, not to just be in the, you know, dating is very, it's very fake to a certain extent. You come, you're dressed perfect, it's the exact free time of the week, you get all ready for it, prepared, and you both come out, you go to a fancy steak, you know, whatever place, and that's not real life to a certain extent. Life is not all getting all dressed up and coming out, perfect time, perfect mood. You had all the whole day, the whole week to prepare. It's not always going to be like that in life. Life is going to be, am I in this in the harder moments, like the rabbi was saying earlier? Am I going to sacrifice when I'm not feeling it? Am I going to be there when I do feel like I don't want to be? And that's really what it's about. It's about seeing, is this a person that I'm willing to give to and to sacrifice to and to build a house with, not to receive or to expect a house? That's really what it's about, building a Bayit Ne'eman B'Yisrael. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of effort, but you have to choose, is this someone that I want to do that with?
I will tell you, first of all, beautiful. It was maybe 10 years ago when I gave a class and they asked me these questions. And the first thing that came into my mind, because I'm Israelis, they said about Israelis, we're not driving fast, we're flying slowly. So when we see lights, traffic lights, we take red very lightly. We're not seeing colors so good. So, you know, now, I'm telling you, you have to make yourself a traffic light before you're going out. What do you mean traffic light? Traffic light, make a list. You have to come ready. Because all this butterfly will come later. Forget about the butterfly. Now you have to make a decision that this decision will change your life forever. You made it right. You don't need to get to Gan Eden. You live in Gan Eden. You made it wrong. It's 120 years of suffering. So you don't want to make a decision because I fell in love, because I fell butterfly. You want to make smart because of that. And religion, they have the concept of Shomer Negiyah. One of the reasons, not only because of Nida, this is the deep reason, the halakha reason, but the deeper reason is because a minute that you become intimacy close is a minute that you lose.
You're thinking.
The judging. Yeah. The thinking is not there anymore. That's it. You cannot judge anymore. You are pasul yadut. You are exempt from making any decision. So when we are in religion, we keep it cold and purpose in order that our decision will be cold mind decision. So what do you have to do? Take a pen and paper, red, yellow, and green. Red, yellow, and green is the list that you're going to make. And the list is as follows. Red is something that you're not willing to compromise under any condition. Green is something that you don't even want to argue. No argument. Let it go. Meaning, red can be, by the way, this lease is changed by portions. My lease of traffic light is going to be different from yours. Because we are two different levels, two different people. What you like, for certain people, red can be beauty. Right or wrong, you can tell me as much. I love it when guys come to me, Rabbi, can you find me Eshet Chayit Tzedeket? I said, you know, I have somebody. Can I see pictures? What the picture have to do with Eshet Chaim? I didn't. I mean, no, Rabbi, I'm looking for the depth. So why didn't? So now they became smart, American perhaps. They're not asking me pictures. What is her name? And right away later, and he told me I'm available and I'm ready. He's checking the names, Facebook, I don't know where. And then, Rabbi, I'm busy. How did you become busy? 2 minutes ago, you asked me for Shidduch, begging. 2 minutes later, he's busy. Eshet Chaim, Yirat Shamayim, means also. Now, I'll tell you like this. Mechanism. And the delays have to be, what is the red? I hope that beauty will not going to be in the red. Because then, Houston, we have a problem. I hope that money will not going to be in the red. I love it when a woman asks you, what is your profession? She doesn't really care about your profession. She wants to know how much money you're making. Now, to ask you direct, is Israeli style. They're not going to do it. So, what is your profession, perhaps? Then, ah, doctor. I do. Profession. Who cares about profession? Okay, profession. Now, in a second, I'm going to get you. So, make a list, red light. For some of us, religion is going to be a red light, 100%. Shabbat, Kashrut, Taharat HaMishpacha, mixed dancing in the weddings, Tzniut, many things. Again, each one of you in his own level. I'm not telling you what's the red light. Each one of you have to have his own red light. Red light meaning I'm not negotiated. Green light is where to live. If you live here, or you live this street, or you live in this neighborhood, next to where to get married, only in this place, and if he's going to buy me diamonds this side, this nonsense have to be the green side. Green side, if you get it, it's beautiful. If not, let it go. And yellow is what you negotiate. Maybe beauty can be in the yellow part. Maybe. Beauty can be, attraction is not beauty. Attraction is something much deeper. When the Rebbe said something, beauty is appearance only. Now, that one can be in yellow for certain people. This is green, obvious. So you ask yourself, and when you come into the date, don't come with the list, like FBI and CIA. Okay, check. You're doing good. So far, so good, you're doing good. Check. Check.
To be or not
check.
To be.
That night, I'm ready to get married. Wait. Okay. Okay, you got the answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Our pleasure. Next. Last question of tonight, I guess.
If anyone else has.
Wait. What's green?
A green is something that if you get it, it's beautiful, but you don't negotiate it. Meaning, where to live, in which neighborhood to live. Your husband decides to live in Queens, and you live in Brooklyn. For certain people, it's great. Wow, moving. Where are you moving? From one place in the exile to another place. From one Gehinnom to another Gehinnom. Both of them, you're not in Eretz Yisrael. To move out from Eretz Yisrael, I will tell you, red light. But to move from one place in America to another place, both of them is religious, both of them is good. What's the problem? I saw people that ask me, Rabbi, why I don't get married? I told him, I know what. The guy do not want to drive to Manhattan for a date. I flew, and I was a rabbi in Orlando, Florida, 9 times to New York from Orlando, and twice or 3 times to Israel to find a wife. The guy flying from Queens to Manhattan, 20 minutes, Rabbi, it's too hard. Why God can I find me shidduch in Queens next to my house? Walking distance. No wonder why it's difficult to find a wife. Gentlemen, we have to go the extra mile. Where to live, where your wedding is going to be, how much money and how many flowers. This nonsense, if you get it, it's beautiful. If not, it's obvious green. Green is something that is not crucial in your life in any ways. This is green. Yellow is negotiation tables. Something to speak on the date. Negotiation. You push to here, you push to there. No. Yellow is negotiation.
Right, to be or negotiation. Not to be.
No, sometimes you're going to have to keep. Sometimes. And green and red is something that is unnegotiable. Yes. Questions?
Just to add on, I guess I just wanted to know opinion of the thing that's called right person, wrong time. Is that like a real concept or not?
Can you be more specific?
Like, say if I met the right girl back then, but it was just the wrong time.
I mean, I think it takes two people to make it work, right?
Right.
Like, she has to want as much as you to go out
right.
as you do.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of times when people are dating, it's like, oh, but it feels so right, and, you know, I wish it could work, but the girl has to feel the same way. You can't bang on a door that doesn't want to sell, you know?
Right.
I do not want to answer in an aggressive way. But by met, and God forbid, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies, do not get me wrong. You have to have rabbis in your life. You have to have rabbis. And the reason is because many of us making foolish decision to lose great...
Costing a lot.
Great people on the ways, great shidduchim, men and ladies. And years later, we're asking ourselves why we don't get married. I mean, it was the right person. And it was the right times. Maybe not for you, because economy reasons, because whatever, any other reasons, because you're in university, because you need to have a rabbi to help you to make the right decision and not to lose gift that God gave you. You know, many times I saw great people, smart, intelligent, religious, extremely beautiful, good families. I mean, the whole nine yards. And they're 30, 36, 40 years old, and they're not married. And you're looking, and I remember in the beginning, when I just became a rabbi, I asked myself many questions. How can these perfect people didn't get married? I don't, where is the, I mean, hello? It was given.
They don't try hard enough.
If you're going to ask each one of them in a closed room, tell me all the people that you said no. That you had enough good reason to say no?
No.
They will answer you no. It was many, many great people that we reject them for stupid reason. Many good people. God do not forget none of us. He gave each one of us his own shidduch. He's given each one of us his own ability to be successful in business. Just poor people never took the opportunity and the gift that God gave them. And they maneuver it, no? They stay small. No, be happy in what you have. So they got stuck at that level. God is giving everybody equal rights. And the right is each Jew, a child of God, deserves to become rich and multimillionaires. And each one of us gets this gift. And each one of us is supposed to be married and have children sometime. How did the Pasuk say, Shlomo Melech said? Even it, beautiful Pasuk. I hope I'm going to do justice to the English explanation of this pasuk, because in Hebrew it's perfect. Ivenet beyad Adam, ve'al Hashem is af libo. The wisest man in the world history said, a man act foolish and he's getting upset with God. I will give you an example. He's putting his car in next to the fire engine. He get ticket. Why, Rabbi, you see, because I came to the synagogues, I got ticket because of that. I got, why God, they made ayin around me, negara, pegara, God do not like me, always I'm getting tickets. What the Almighty God have to do with this? The fact that you're foolish to put the car over there in the fire engine, or not to pay the token, because you're cheap, because you give quarter, you need IKG, and then you get 25. This is, now, what, I don't understand, why are we blaming God? You ask me beautiful questions. I hope that the people that we reject from our life and shidduchim and dating area was for a good reason. Because if not, it's a problem.
I want to tell you a crazy chidush that I heard firsthand from the son of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Nowhere on the internet. I literally heard it firsthand from someone who was present in Bnei Brak, and it really applies to what you're saying. It says that finding your soulmate is compared to the splitting of the sea, right? Like I said, it's Masechet Sotah on the first page, right? What does it mean, splitting of the sea? The basic understanding is that you come 4 days before you were born, they announce your name to the girl's name, you come into this world, and you're divided. So you start on this side of the sea, there's a big division, which is the first 20-something years of your life, hopefully, when you get married, and you come together. So it's really a break-off of one full piece that comes together as one on your wedding night. That's also why on your wedding night you get cleaned of all your sins, because you're really starting your life now. So the beautiful chidush about this. Anybody in this room know on which on whose merit did the sea split for? Who?
I mentioned. Yes, you're right.
Yes, Nachshon. Who said Nachshon? Zaku Baruch. Nachshon ben Aminadav. So the Rav said, I think Rav Shlomo Kanievsky, why did the sea split for him? Because when he approached the water, he put his head down. And when he put his head down, the sea split for him. So he compared this to Shiduchim. Many times the person's not getting married. Why? Because his head is up. I want it to be perfect. Reputation, money, beauty. I want everything from... I didn't even finish it.
No, my mind, my hand is getting it. I'm getting it.
I want the most perfect girl. And if your head is high with all the gaava, Hashem can't split the sea for you. So what did the Rav say? Put your head down. And if you put your head down and take what you're getting, then Hashem can split the sea for you. Because oftentimes what we think is perfect is actually perfect on the outside. It's artificial and it's not real. If we're going to go into something that's, you know, 80% good, like Rav Fishel Schechter said, and we're going to marry potential, then we can actually bring that into, we can bring out into fruition. So sometimes it's not about marrying the right girl. Sometimes it's about making it the right situation for yourself so you can just get married already. You have an obligation. You have to get married. By the way, just talk about marriage for a second, can I? Like just sitting in your house on the couch watching a movie, you're getting a mitzvah d'oraita every second. Because you got married and that woman is under your supervision, you're taking care of her, you're getting a mitzvah every second. Like, there is no, like, it's no debate. A person needs to get married and do everything he can. Like, don't get lost in school, college, working, let the years go by. Like, this has to be an active priority. I need to get under the chuppah as fast as I can. And it's not desperation, it's just because Hashem commanded it, so you have to do it. I want to tell you one more beautiful idea about marriage, just about talking about the potential of a human being. There's a book called Sefer HaChinuch, and in the Sefer, it tells a story about a man who, for the sake of the argument, he wasn't intelligent. I don't like using harsh words. He wasn't a smart person. And what happened? He gets married. And the girl, she believed in him. She told him every single day, she pushed him to go learn Torah. And she told him one line that the Sefer mentions, you're going to become the Gdol Ador one day. Meaning, she saw something in front of her that was, you can imagine, like Rabbi Akiva. Knew nothing. For the most simplest tasks he couldn't perform. And what did this woman see in her husband? She saw potential. And the story concludes that this man indeed fulfilled the potential that his wife sought for him to be. He became the Gdol Ador. So it just goes to show you that sometimes when you have something in front of you that may not look good, or the girl or guy might have a past, used to go clubbing, smoking, drinking, close your ears, you know. Sometimes people aren't perfect and they make mistakes. But you're not marrying that person for who they were. You're marrying that person for who they can become.
Another question. No, not the same. Give it, please. Yes, anyone else? Before.
Questions?
Shlomo?
Any other questions?
Okay.
Last chance.
Rabbi Hananiah ben Akasha Omer, no. Adonai chafetz, eman tzidko.
Gifts.
Yagdil, Torah ve'adir. I'm going to do a test to give. They have a gift. And we're going to make a set of the Shadarach. Do we have Kohanim in the room? Do we have Kohanim? Anyone is Kohanim?
Chazak u'baruch.
A special